Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man. And I am your host, the Miracle Man. I'm your host for this evening, and I'm glad you could join us on this Wednesday night in March. Yes, we are having night two of the Holy Spirit Conference tonight at Living Word Church on Stark Road, 1 mile north of US 10. Address is 2010-2010 North Stark Road. If you're going north, it's going to be on the right-hand side of the road. So, then you'll see it's where the dove is. And so, that's where it is. We had a great night last night. And Pastor had a good word for us. And overall, it was just a good night, flowing in the spirit, good time of worship. I told you there would be some funny moments, and Pastor did make some funny jokes. So, yeah, it was a good night. And I look for God to do even more tonight, tomorrow, and then on Friday, the final day. And I'm just going to be an observer for a moment. Excuse me. I did not word that correctly. I am going to tell you guys something I have observed the last few years when it comes to the conferences. I've noticed that during a week of a conference, that oftentimes the conference goes by way, 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 way too fast. Yeah, like after tonight's done, we had a service last night. We had a service this morning at 10:30. Then we have tonight's service, 6:15 prayer, 7 o'clock the service. After tonight, it will have been 3 down, 4 to go. So that means after tomorrow morning, we will be halfway done with the conference. Which is, yeah, just seems like these weeks of the conferences always move by super duper duper fast. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to a great night two of the conference. I will be in the children's church wing ministering to the kids, but I'll still be out in the sanctuary for worship at least, so at least I'll get something. As this is the host church and God has called us to serve. And so I serve where I can. And I am not allowing myself to feel bad about the fact that I'm not going to be out in the sanctuary for the word tonight. Because as Christians, we should have the heart of a servant, which means we love to serve. But think about it. As you work in the church, there are some departments in which you can serve every service and still be a part of every service. For example, the music department. I had been in church, in choir at Living Word Church, singing in the choir for almost 7 years. And then due to low attendance, low participation, the choir was discontinued, for now at least. Now, we still have some mic singers, but the rest of the choir is not singing right now, and I'm believing that we're going to get back. And once choir is brought back on, I'm getting right back in it, because I loved doing it. I love doing it. I miss it. And it allows me a way to serve in the ministry. So something like that, you know, you can serve, you know, the first portion of the service, you know, singing, playing your instrument unto the Lord, you know, that is the duty, help people enter into the service. And then after that, you sit down, but still be ready, you know, if pastor calls you up. In other departments, like the kids or security, you might have to miss some or much or most of the service, like tonight. And well, I know I'll miss it. I can't say I feel terrible about it. I can't, because after all, I'm serving, which we are to be part of the Ministry of Hopes. All Christians have been given a call by God, even if it's just to serve as Ministry of Hopes in their church. So I'm helping with the kids tonight. Tomorrow night is another time where I'm serving. I'm serving by greeting at the door. And what you need to realize is this. It takes a lot of people to help put on a service, a regular church service, at a church of our size where we got several hundred people, let alone the night of a conference. You've got to have the door greeters, ushers. You know, you got to have the worship and praise team, the singers, security, children's church workers, helpers, you know, the security people outside helping make sure the place is safe, the church is safe. And so, you know, the media team to record the services, camera people. And so, yeah, it takes a lot of work. So, generally on a conference night, we'll have over 60 people working in some area. For example, tonight we would, yes. And then to stay in all that conference monologue, just to say the first night was great. I'm looking forward to the last three being amazing as well. And I'll give you an update Monday as to how the rest of the conference went, what happened, and what have you. So let's get into the material for tonight. Excuse me, I mean the plan for tonight before I get to the material. The plan for tonight is, I already talked about the conference, so I won't be talking any more about the conference on tonight's show. The plan, the rest of the plan, excuse me, is this. I'm going to do the brief introduction that I always do. I'm going to do my introduction, but it's going to be a little bit more brief this time, an explanation. Then we're going to pray. We're going to read Exodus 37. And then added a new Braille Hebrews shipped to me, so now I can read all of Hebrews 11 and the first two verses of Hebrews 12. We're going to read those verses, and then we're going to exhort briefly. And then after that, we're going to have our sports update, including my predictions for where Michigan and Michigan State will be seated as. And our Red Wings score from last night, as well as a couple of quick girls' high school basketball scores. All coming your way. Well, first off, if you got family, friends who have heard you talk about the show and they're thinking, you know, how can I get involved with this great program? Here's what you can tell them. Go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word, blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search box. In the search box, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Upfront Entertainment. And then you click on the link that says Live and Large. And then after you get on the link, you'll see that we've done 100 episodes now. We've done 100 episodes that we've done on this program. What a milestone. We're sticking with it. And hit that follow button. It's really a smart thing to listen to and follow this program on your smartphone or your smart device. It really is a smart thing. We also have a telephone number that you can call us at and talk about generally anything you want to. The telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that telephone number is 215-383-3810. Now listen for the prompts, and then after you hear the prompt to press 1, you press 1. Then you'll go through the call screener, and then we'll let you on the program, and you can talk to us. Now, we do have a couple of rules that we have for the show. And again, this is not for the purpose of being hostile or anything like that. These are just to help us have a good quality show. Rule number one. This is not a political talk show. There's other good shows you can listen to if that's what you're looking for, like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. I'm not any of these three people. And we believe that we would rather be uniters rather than dividers. So we don't talk about politics. And what's going to happen if you want to talk about politics is we say this in love, not to condemn any of you. We're going to ask you to pray, as the Bible tells us, to pray over for those who have authority over us. And then we're also going to tell you to vote. Next time there's an election in your area, vote. Rule number two. This is a family talk show. What we mean is it's meant to be family friendly. So we generally have a rule that says if you wouldn't say it to Jesus, please don't say it on this program. So if you can help us with these rules by following them, then everything can be wonderful. before I get into the Word of God, now I'm going to get to prayer first, but before I do that, let me just remind you that McDonald's is the home of America's favorite fries, and is also the place where you can get any size beverage, soft drink, for $1, including the world's best soda of all, Coca-Cola. No, I didn't say Dr. Pepper. Coca-Cola, the best soft drink ever. Yes, you can get Dr. Pepper, which is a decent soft drink, but nowhere near number one. I know Preacher Man's going to go after me for this later, because I went after him several different times this week about the Dr. Pepper thing by totally saying that Coca-Cola was so much better. And I know at some point Preacher Man's going to get me for this. So I shall be quiet. I'm going to settle down and start with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this show tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for these listeners that have joined us. I thank you, Lord God, for this brief time in your word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that the people while listening will receive. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon me and your hand is upon the show. And you're showing me what you would have me say tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for the show. I pray that finances are coming into the show, that good equipment's coming to the show. I thank you that sponsors are coming to the show, and that bigger audiences are coming to the show. And I give you praise, glory, and honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise God, Hebrews chapter 11. So, as for the Bible reading for tonight, it's going to be all of Hebrews chapter 11, the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12, and then all of Exodus chapter 37. So, Hebrews 11, first two verses of Hebrews 12, and then all of Exodus 37. And we'll see what God has for us tonight. Amen. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe, was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I always like to add something to this and say that this. But with faith, it is possible to please God. It is possible to please God with faith. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world, and he became an heir with the righteous that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed God and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, when Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he, as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their futures. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible, and by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. So he reduced from the strength of the strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Chapter 12, first two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, let's go to Exodus 37. Praise God. Exodus 37. Let's see what God's saying to Moses and Aaron. Hallelujah. Exodus 37. I'll just see how long it was. We're going to start with Exodus 37. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, both inside and out, and he made gold molding around it. He cast 4 gold rings for it and fastened them to its 4 feet and 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he centered the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. He made the atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. Cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. He made 1 cherub on one end and the second cherub on the other. At 2 ends he made them of 1 piece on the cover. The cherubim had their rings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim faced each other, looking toward the cover. They made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Then they overlaid it with pure gold and made a gold molding around it. They also made around it a rim, a hand breadth wide, and put gold molding on the rim. They cast 4 gold rings for the table and fastened them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs were. The rings were put close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. The poles for carrying the table were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with gold. And they made a pure gold, they made from pure gold the articles for the table, its plates, and its dishes, and its bowls, and its pitchers for the pouring of drink offerings. They made the lampstand of pure gold and hammered it out, basin and shaft. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms were with one piece with it. 6 branches extended from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side and 3 on the other side. 3 cups shaped like almond flowers, buds, and blossoms were on one branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstands were 4 cups shaped like almond flowers of buds and blossoms. 1 bud was under the first paste of branches extending from the lampstand. A 2nd bud under the second, and a 3rd bud under the 3rd pair. 6 branches in all. These buds and the branches were all of one piece of the lampstand, hammered out of pure gold. They made its 7 lamps as well as its work trimmers and trims of pure gold. They made the lampstand and all of its accessories from 1 pure gold. They made the altar of incense of acacia wood. It was square. It was 1 cubit long and 1 cubit wide and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. They overlaid the top of all the sides and the horns with pure gold. And they made a gold molding around it. And they made 2 gold rings below the molding, 2 on opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it, and they made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. They also made the sacred anointing oil and the pure fragrant incense, the work of a perfumer, the work of a perfumer. So, talk about this faith stuff for just a couple quick minutes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not something we can go get at Meijer, Walmart, Costco, Kroger, Sam's, anywhere like that. Can't find faith at the grocery store. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that tells me that the way you get faith is by hearing the Word. So as great as reading the Bible is for you, and you should be doing it every day, it's not the same as hearing it. Because when you're hearing the Word of God preached, you're gaining faith. And it takes a lot of faith to live today. It really does. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these other people, Barak, Jephthah, Moses, all these other people, they all lived by faith. And so should we. We should all be living by faith. And so, Lord God, I thank you for the brief time in your word tonight and discovering some more about faith. Be with us tonight as we go from here. And I just thank you that you keep us safe and that you impart things into these people. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go to some sports. I'm going to begin with some Tigers action. Yesterday, the Tigers lost to the New York Yankees by the score of 6-2. Francisco, I forget his last name, but he went two innings of scoreless baseball. He gave up a hit and a couple walks and he had a couple strikeouts to his credit. And so they play again soon for preseason. Red Wings last night, big exciting win, 6-5. 6-5, Red Wings in overtime. And a couple different times they came back from 2-goal deficits. And so, good news for the Red Wings. Pistons play the Raptors tonight in Toronto at 7 p.m. They need to get some more wins so that they can look to possibly get in the playoffs, but they really need to win a lot more of their games in order to do it. They really do. You can't lose 9 out of 11. You can't lose 9 in a row on the road if you want to make the playoffs. You can't be doing that. You can't. I think if they can't get this fixed, I think Stan Van Gundy is going to be out of a job at the end of the year. So I think they'll be looking for a new coach. High school basketball. Last night, you had Arthur Hill roll over Marquette, 64-40. So Heritage is moving on. Now, let's talk about this. Michigan, Michigan State, my predictions for what seeds they're going to get in the tournament. I start first with Michigan. Great coach. They're well balanced on different sides of the ball. 7 losses on the regular season, but they won the Big Ten championship. They had Leonard Robinson and some other great players that helped lead to their success. You also, and then you have Michigan State with the likes of Miles Bridges, among other great players, as well as Tom Izzo, one of, I think, possibly one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, Tom Izzo. He's made it to at least 5 Final Fours. Let me think here. 2001 or 5, 9, 10, 12, like at least 6 Final Fours he's made it to, which is a wonderful accomplishment. And I think both are going to make great runs. I think Michigan is probably going to be a 3 seed. And I think Michigan State is probably going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed. Selection Sunday is this Sunday coming up. And I will let you know on Monday as far as what seeds Michigan and Michigan State got, along with some other NCAA perennials such as Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Tennessee, and others. So I'll let you know who the one seeds through the 4 seeds are, so that everybody knows who to look out for when they fill out their brackets. And then, so that I can do a good job, I'm going to look at some programs to see which teams with lower seeds, and by lower, I'm talking double-digit seeds like an 11 seed, a 12 seed, a 14 seed. A couple of years ago, we had a number 15 seed out of Tennessee beat a number 2 seed Michigan State Spartans team. And so we're going to start with that. We're going to talk about that a bit next week. It'll be some Monday, some Tuesday, and some Wednesday. That way I don't do it all on one night. And so I can have good coverage. So that when you go to watch the games over the 4 days, you can know. And so with that, I hope everyone enjoyed the show tonight. And I pray that if you go to the Holy Spirit Conference like I'm going to, pray that you receive some great things from the Lord in the rest of this week. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you next time.